everybody. Welcome to Come to Your Senses with me, Carlos Jaime. Oh, boy. I have a favorite of mine back again, and she's by herself. I'm going to name this episode The Return. And I'm going to introduce it right now. The return of Mary Kate Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. I kind of felt bad that, you know, you accepted inviting me back. I was afraid that last time might have been a little brutal.
No, really?
No.
Oh, no. It got a little touchy. I did cry a couple times. You know, we settled. You know, it's on the past. This is now a new year, a new episode, and then we're going to get ready. We're going to do, I think we're going to do three trailers. Cool. But we'll see. We're going to do London Has Fallen, the sequel, which Mary Kate didn't know.
No, I didn't. No. I was thinking like the prequel was like Taken 3 or something.
No.
I don't know. It's all the same thing.
No, it kind of looked the same. I know. I'm pretty sure like just the way guys kind of see like romantic comedies the same. They all look the same.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure a lot of women sometimes see these action movies. It's like, isn't that the same dude? Mm-hmm. Like, why is he in a different movie? Like, who cares, you know? But and then the next one was it 10 Cloverfield or is it 1 Cloverfield Lane? It's supposedly another sequel about Cloverfield. You never saw that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's I remember enjoying Cloverfield when it came out, but there was a couple things. Do you remember that, Mike? Mike Hoagie is in the house.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You never saw it?
Cloverfield, no.
No, okay, that's another. Some movies are not. I don't know why they didn't make sequels, I guess. But.
It's probably why I didn't understand the trailer. Is that the one with the guy who's the dad in the show Roseanne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on in that trailer.
Right, okay.
That's
it happens in a lot of trailers. If you're not into like the sci-fi genre or horror movie sometimes or whatever, like, yeah, it's like, it's the same thing, like I said, with guys with romantic films. It's like if they did a sequel to Love Actually, it would be like, all right.
It would be called like Love Really or something.
They would be like, why is the guy from Walking Dead in this fucking weird movie? Like, what the fuck is this all about? And is he British? I didn't know he was British. You know, he is British, right? I think, yeah, the guy.
Which one?
The Walking Dead, the main character guy.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
When they talk like American.
Like Americans.
Yeah. And then they, American. All of a sudden when they start talking British, it's like, whoa. That's creepy. It's like the... you're taking our jobs, man. What's going on here? You know? I know they used to blame Mexicans for taking jobs. I'm like, no, I think the Mexicans should be like, no, they're taking your jobs, right? Dude, like, what's this all about? And then there's another movie, The Perfect Match. But we'll see if we get to that right here. But let's get into Mary Kate. You know, you did booty pageants, right?
I did.
You did.
It sounded like you said booty pageants, and I was like, yes, I did. Absolutely, booty pageants all the way.
Yeah, you know, there should be. I'm pretty sure there is a booty pageant somewhere. I'm pretty sure that exists somewhere.
I would enter.
You would enter?
I mean, if I'd done like some hardcore like squats and stuff, but
okay.
I mean,
okay.
For some reason, like I'm Colombian, but like it's hard to work that, you know, vicinity.
Right.
It's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
I could see that. Definitely. But I'm pretty sure there's booty pageant somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah. But since you said you're half Colombian, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What you feel about the Steve Harvey debacle?
Oh my God! Okay, so it's funny that you asked that. Like all the pageant girls get asked that. Like everyone's like, "What did you think of that?" You know,
right.
And of course it was Miss Columbia. You know,
yeah.
And I mean, like honestly, like it happens. Mistakes happen. Like Steve Harvey didn't like go out of his way to make it like a terrible situation for everyone. I think it sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks for someone to be crowned and then decrowned within, like, 18 seconds. Like, I can't even... Like, I would probably die for my emotions being ripped out, you know?
Right, because that's the thing. When someone instantly wins, when they give them that what do you call that
the
thing?
The sash and the crown and the flowers. Crown.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they did that, right, to the Miss Columbia?
Yeah, she got everything.
And then they said... Then they took... Literally had to take it off to her head. And around her body and say,
I think that's like the worst part. Like it was so funny. People were saying that they shouldn't have shown the actual decrowning as if it was like not appropriate for television.
I think it's appropriate. I think that's probably the most interesting of the.
Yeah, it was intense. Like all of us at home watching, like our jaws are like dropped and we're like freaking out. My boyfriend's like, "What is wrong with you? Why do you care?" And I'm just like trying to explain, but.
I guess it's like sports in a way. It's like if something happens like, and all of a sudden, like maybe the referee did did something or mistake. You know, that's happened before. And that's, it's like, it's, it doesn't make sense. And you're just like, now the whole thing is like, you know, is this now like in limbo? You don't
it's
know
like
it
your
is.
Team wins a Super Bowl and then the ref goes, just kidding. Right. You know, like after like, you're holding the trophy and stuff.
He says like,
who made the call? You know? Like,
He said, he like, I forgot to throw the flag. I think the only one I could think of that was like that was, I remember seeing a documentary called, I think it was called 3 Seconds or 4 Seconds to Gold. And it was about the U.S. basketball team in 1972. The Olympics in Munich, you know, that was the Olympics where like the terrorists, that was some Olympics. That was, you know, that was, that would have been like, you know what, let's get the fuck out of here. Fuck this, you know, but yeah, they, the U.S. basketball team was playing the Russians and they were always head ahead. You know, U.S. Was always the top dog and Russia was really coming at them, you know? And there was this play and at the end of the seconds, and like all of a sudden, like what it was, the U.S. were losing, and then they got a lucky break, and they were winning by 1 point, or something. And all of a sudden, like it was 3 seconds left, or whatever it was, and like the referee or whatever, like they just fucked up the game. They had to go back. Not only did they have to go back like once or twice, I think it took them like 3 times to get it back, and the Russians wound up winning. And they were like, and to this day, the U.S. team, like even like that day, like they were just in shock and they have never accepted their silver medals, that whole team. So like when they go to the museum or the Olympic museum, I think it's like in Switzerland, those medals are actually still there. Like, and like, jeez, like some of the basketball players said, like even on their will, like the guy said, like no one in my family will ever accept those. It's like we won the gold and we got ripped off.
But do you ever think like when things happen like that or like, you know, with the wrong crowning of Miss Colombia and Miss Philippines, do you ever think that's done for like political purposes or, you know, for press and to just get some buzz and awareness going for viewers and blah, blah, blah?
Knowing Steve Harvey, I mean,
honestly, like if you think about it, he could have been paid off to do that and then, you know, been told the terms like you will be, you know, degraded online, you will be suffering, blah 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 blah, you know. But
I mean, I think if it was 1980 something, like if it was 1986,
yeah,
and there was a big mess up or something like that, I think, because I think Miss Columbia would win because I think the drug cartels at that time was like really heavy, you know. Like that would have been like, we'll give you $1 million, and Steve Harvey's like, oh yeah. Screw that, like I'll name it, I don't care who won. But I don't know, it's yeah, it was a big, I would say just a big blunder from the guy, I guess.
She ended up being offered like a $5 million porn contract.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
She did not
take it.
Really?
What do you mean, really? Thank goodness. Oh, my God. Like, put all your goods out on the table, Glenn. She'll be worth nothing.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of money, though. $5
million? Yeah, but, I mean... You gotta like find a way to make $5 million without having to do that. I mean, if you can, if you want to, that's cool, and that's your cup of tea.
How about $10 million?
I mean, that's up for debate. You know, no. I just think that's gross and weird. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me that porn always gets in there every kind of little second when there's a goof. Like Hustler used to do that too, where like if there was like
a scandal, that story.
Yeah, like the magazine, like if there was like a, like when Bill Clinton was having all these like escapades like 20 years ago when he was like running for office and everything, and he had all these like women saying like you cheated on Hillary and all that stuff. They would go, Hustler would go out there and say like they would try to give the best story or give so much, you know?
And
sometimes porno companies would offer those women into like, hey, you want to get into this? And it was always like a weird, like, I'm like, how do you make that? Who's brave enough to do it? Like, I couldn't do that. Like, I would be like, I know Miss Columbia.
I couldn't even film it. You know, like being like in film production, I don't think my eyeballs could even view that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Porn, I don't think you have to be in like, I think it's like a video camera. Like, I don't think they really care about
it. I'm thinking like they have like a Red, you know, or a Black Magic and they're like, okay, boom, Mike, speak.
I don't think so. I don't know. Like, I think it's like, I think they have like those old timey cameras if they, you know, who knows what they have.
Can you explain why you know so much about like the type of film they use?
I saw Boogie Nights. Come on, what are you talking about? That's crazy. $5 million.
It was $1 million or $5 million, but I actually was like, You know,
that's a way. And look, and now that Playboy is no longer nude,
yeah,
that's a big deal. They're now Madison Avenue is all over them now. They're trying to, you know, because now they, because I have a friend that works there, and they're saying like, yeah, like now that they can have ads and stuff that they normally wouldn't have, you know? Because before I was like, yeah, like, I mean, it was almost like, yeah, if you were a cigarette company or alcohol, like, yeah, you would definitely put your, you know, out there, like they would have that. But now it's like, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to get some McDonald's, maybe. Do you think McDonald's would put their money in Playboy?
I don't know. I just like, it's interesting that, you know, Playboy would do that because that's what they were notorious for. And so I wonder, like, are they going to be able to, you know, generate as much revenue?
Yeah.
I like care so much about their, you know, appreciation in their business, but like, I mean, they,
it's a big step. Yeah.
They had to consider all that, you know?
They were like the main magazine to be, the nude women. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what guys, you know, like would subscribe. I mean, they were like, you know, lifers basically and all that stuff. And I think they said it's just a different world, you know, from what it was.
I think they're going to get a really huge influx of like beautiful girls who just truly valued, you know, themselves in a way that they didn't want to, you know, show their whole naked body.
Right.
And then now they have the opportunity to model and be photographed and enjoy that whole experience without having to fully, you know, uncover.
Right.
So,
yeah. Cause I think nowadays it's like, like before, like, like when I used to see, like, it was rare. Like if you saw like a naked, like Playboy, like it was like, unless you had knew somebody that had a Playboy magazine. Yeah. Like you weren't seeing it online. We didn't have online. There was no other thing. So now it's like anybody kind of has that access, I guess, to see whatever, if somebody's nude or somebody's there. So it's like, it doesn't really work anymore. It's not like there's no thrill of it, you know? I mean, not saying like some guy, you know, like waiting every month, you know, for his magazine, you know, in the 70s being like, oh shit, Playboy's here. I gotta go. I gotta go. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Now but, they'll just be able to grab a copy of Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. I mean, like even Victoria's Secret was pretty like popular. I'm pretty sure their catalog was like, I'm pretty sure guys is like, you know what? I can't afford a Playboy subscription, but I do have my Victoria's Secret.
But for $24.95 for 12 months,
My Victoria's Secret comes in handy. I'll tell you that much. But I don't know. It's but that's so funny with Steve Harvey. I mean, that is like the thing to do, the worst thing to do.
That's like the biggest deal. Yeah. So the pageant world, like us girls, we are so intense about the entire like industry and the experience of pageants. So like our world was shut down when that happened. Like we were like emotionally broken when this whole thing went down.
Yeah.
And you know, we also felt bad, like, you know, we feel horrible for Colombia, like that sucks. But then we were also like, Miss Philippines, you know, got ripped of having like a nice, clean, proper, awesome crowning moment. But she's so humble and she's so cool. She literally was like, it's fine. Yeah. You know, like she just kind of accepted it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, yeah, they probably, it's like now it's going to be like this weird moment because like every year they have like, oh, this is so-and-so. Now everyone, even the, like the general public is going to be like, who maybe not into pageants necessarily. And they're going to be like, oh yeah, that's the year that Steve Harvey
goofed.
Yeah. I was like, so now it's. It's like almost like a tie between Miss Colombia and Miss Philippines, you know?
Yeah.
So
Trump wanted them to like share the crown. He was like, that's what I would do. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. You would not have them do that. Like,
why would it? Yeah. Like there's always one winner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, has it ever happened?
You can't have two Miss Universes. That's stupid.
Yeah. Has there ever, I mean, there's only one universe.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's one.
There might be a parallel universe. That might be different.
But no one's going to wear a sash that says Miss Parallel freaking universe, you know?
Some nerdy girls might. If
they're
Comic-Con, I'm pretty sure you know what? That's a great idea.
I would lose my shit
really?
If I ever saw that.
I'm gonna come up with something, a Miss Parallel Universe, and we'll
You're
see.
You're gonna
what
get
happens.
Some weird contestants.
Oh, it's part. Hey, it's you know, it's the way it is.
Oh
okay?
my god,
that's the way it is. It's life. Okay, you know, Playboy's got weird. You know, they're gonna be getting some weird people
that's
too.
True.
You know, so
everyone's gonna think they can be a Playboy model.
Yeah, I think so.
Not
I think it's
so
gonna
fast.
Be like. So, I don't know. It depends. But, and you, are you okay? Because you seem a little, flustered when you got over here. Are you okay?
My God. No, I'm not okay. Okay.
I think I just reminded you something.
Jesus. Yeah. It was awful getting here to begin with.
Sorry.
I leave Brentwood, you know, and it's 7 o'clock at night. So there's like a pretty sweet amount of traffic.
Right.
But I was like, oh, Waze, handy dandy, trusty Waze will get me there on time. So here's the thing about Waze, the app. You know what it is,
right?
So it gets you there really quickly, the shortest distance, blah, blah, blah. So Waze will get you where you need to go,
uh-huh.
but Waze will kill you
right.
if it means getting there on time. Like Waze has no right. mercy.
No.
They're like, oh, cross four lanes of traffic at, you know, 7:15.
Right.
That's fine. Just do it.
Yeah.
And all I could think about was I'm going to die. I'm going to die getting to this show tonight.
Yeah. Boy.
And it just didn't end like. After I'd cross like this main intersection, I'm like, oh, thank God that's done. And then I thought I was in like a neighborhood. So I'm like, this is great. And then I come across this entire intersection with no stop signs. And I'm like, I just was wow. like, I'm going to turn around and go home. This is bull.
Wow.
And then, but I couldn't because I adore you. So I wouldn't do that. But then, I was trying to look for parking around your house, and I was just like, I can't catch a freaking break.
Yeah,
there are no spots. I hate Hollywood. That's why I moved out. This is Hollywood, right?
It was Hollywood, technically,
okay, yeah.
but it's all right.
I just, and people are annoying, and they drive like crap, and they wear stupid clothes.
Wow.
And, you know, God bless America, but I just couldn't take it.
Wow.
But I did find a spot on the main road where there's a meter. And it was so funny because it's, you know, 2-hour parking. Uh-huh. But when I parked, it was 8:01. So I was like, I finally caught my break. You
there
know?
You
I was
go.
Like, all
perfect.
Right, saved $1.50, you know, three big.
you know, when you're talking about that, that would I would love it if they have a beauty pageant contestant would just talk about that, you know, like as they're like they're either their talent or like and they get a question.
That would be my talent.
Yeah.
But the thing is, okay, so I drive a really fast sports car.
Yeah,
so like
you have like a dream car. Like it's so funny. Like you in that thing, like if let's just say if you ever drove Uber or something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like people would be like, what? Like a guy would be like, what the fuck?
I wish like I could even do that, but Uber only allows people with four doors on their car.
Right,
so mine's two.
Yeah.
But no, it's funny. Like when I was first getting my car, I always loved Camaros. I always wanted a Camaro.
Right.
I didn't think I was going to get a super sport, but you know, whatever. If the shoe fits, right?
Right.
So I was, you know, like, okay, I'm going to get it. This is the one I want, blah, blah, blah. And my mom is like, Mary Kay Fitzpatrick, you are going to look like a thug driving around in that car in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I was just like, I thought about it and I was like, oh my God, she's so right. Like people, and they try to race me. Like they'll pull up to me.
Really?
And keep in mind, my windows are tinted. I have blacked out rims. I am a thug.
Yeah.
You know, I embrace it. And so people will pull up about to race me. And when they see like my face, like if I roll down the window, they're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah,
you know, like they just see that there's like this girl sitting in the car.
Because I remember seeing you in your car and I was like, what the?
Yeah.
it gets
unwanted attention. Sometimes.
It was like out of a music video or something like that. I was like, what the hell? I
was like, it was probably bumping like Jason Derulo or something.
Yeah. I was like, wow. Like that's a pretty, all right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, not bad. But yeah, you got to be careful with Waze. It will get you there, but yeah.
But you may die.
Yeah.
Like that's like that should be the disclaimer. We'll get you there, but you may not survive.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it like, does it know timing? Is that what it is?
It just does it. Like, I swear, I think according to time.
Yeah.
And you can choose like different routes.
Right.
And I didn't know that until like 3 days ago, but I didn't choose a route this time. I was like, oh, it's going to be, I'll just take, you know, Sunset all the way. But Waze is like, turn on Arden, left on Rosewood, right on Melrose. And then, you know, in 6 feet, then you have to make a left on Doheny.
Right.
I'm like, what? Like, that's impossible. Like, even in my car, I can't do these things, you know?
No, it's almost like, it reminds me of The Matrix. Like, whenever I've seen The Matrix, there's a part where the character Neo, played by Keanu Reeves, he's like hiding from the Men in Black, basically, guys.
Yeah.
and the guy, you know, Lawrence Fishburne is like saying like, okay, all right, just follow whatever I say. And he's like, okay, now move. Okay. Now stay. Like, and he was like, so like they couldn't see him. And that's what I feel like it is. And it's so weird because he's probably like, I'm like right behind the guy, like that I'm trying to hide from. And he's like, no, he's like, I know. He's like, he won't see you.
And the worst part about Waze is that like when it gives you directions, it has like a 10-15 second delay between directions. Even when you have to make a left and then an immediate left right after that. So you already passed the direction. And so as you're passing each new direction, when it's trying to update, you can't get it.
No,
like it keeps like rerouting. I'm like, I can't. I'm just going to go to mapquest.com, type in my address, print the directions and keep them with me.
I don't know. You know what?
It's the safest thing I can do. What did they do in the Jesus days? They didn't have MapQuest.
Well,
they didn't have Waze. They had donkeys.
You know what they did? I think they it's like Columbus, you know, like, you know how he thought like it was the Far East, like India and all that stuff. Like he thought it was like this whole other thing.
Yeah.
And later on they're like, no, that's not,
they followed stars.
I think he just said, you know what? this is it.
Like, it's if like, I followed like, stars, I would end up in Crenshaw. But I'd blend in with my car,
yeah,
so whatever.
Your car would be perfect, I'm telling you. I think if the stars know, I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm telling you. Wow, but yeah, I don't know. Back then, I think they just said, you know what? Just like if we're going to go to Bethlehem, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. This is Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We're just calling this Bethlehem. We don't care. You know? Screw that. We're not going there right there. But, you know, I love my segment in the show, News of the World.
News of the World.
Remember we did last time we did about the Lego guys and all that stuff there, which is crazy.
Whatever did he do with those Legos?
I don't know. I tried looking it up, you know, or something. They couldn't find any more.
Maybe he went to jail.
Yeah. Either that or he's living in an island in the Caribbean.
That he made of his Legos.
Lego money. Big time. Wow. That's big time money. That's what I'm saying.
Fascinating creature.
But this one is, I want to do a News of the World segment.
Okay.
It's not really a News of the World, but it came out of a newspaper. Normally I read this off my computer and everything, but this came out from the Toluquan Times.
We have a real newspaper, guys. It's right an here. Actual piece of paper.
It's a piece of it's paper here. And when I read this, I felt a lot of emotions here. A lot of emotions, different, you know, like sadness. Happiness.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not, so I'm like bracing for impact.
No. This is crazy. This is actually, it's not even an article or a news story, but someone wrote this, an open letter to Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins.
Okay.
Now the correlation between those two gentlemen is that they made a movie called Shawshank Redemption that came out like 20 years ago, I think, or so, like that.
Wow.
And it's like this, it's almost like up there with The Godfather and Goodfellas. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like this huge thing. And even though it never even won Academy Awards or anything, like, it got nominated but didn't win crap, you know?
Yeah.
But it's
got, should have. It was great.
And everyone's seen it. Everyone loves it. They just, you know, it's the perfect type of movie that anybody would be like, wow. So, okay, this is written by a woman named Kathy Gooden. Okay.
What's her last name?
Gooden.
Gooden.
Yeah, Gooden.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So right here. She goes, "Dear Mr. Morgan Freeman and Mr. Tim Robbins, okay? My name is Kathy Gooden, and I've written a screenplay just for the two of you." Not for the whole movie, but just for the two of them, right? He goes, "I have a copyright pending, and it is registered with the WGA, which is the Writers Guild.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled... Now, this is what it says. It is titled, quote-unquote, Untitled Project, or, quote-unquote, Andy and Red, the Men of Shawshank."
Wait, okay. This is real?
Yeah, right there. Okay.
And they publish this letter for what reason?
Okay, we're going to get there.
My God. Okay.
She goes, "This is a fantastic screenplay. I know I'm making a drastic move with this public letter, but I had to get your attention somehow. Okay, so far I've been completely ignored by Hollywood. Isn't this America, land of opportunity where dreams are come true?" She's already in a rat. Like, it's already like...
Did she forget you have to like work and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, it's like she's already like, I don't like this already. You know, like Hollywood, it's all big phonies and all that stuff right now. And he goes, right here, she goes, "Mr. Morgan, you did an interview a while back and said... quote unquote, that it is a catch-22. You have to have an agent to get work, but you can't get an agent without knowing someone," quote unquote, you know.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't know.
Who said that?
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, okay. But, well, I guess it might be true for some situations. I thought she meant like just as like a writer, but
he may have said that like when he was first starting out, maybe. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes right here. "I live in the land of Oz," parentheses Kansas, "where there are no Hollywood agents, stars, producers, etc. Did either one of you know that this screenplay was being pitched or something like that?" I don't know. Whatever. That's what she says. Okay. He goes, "I have an excellent script that offers the main thing you need for a good movie, a solid plot."
Not true.
Yeah. That sometimes it's not. Yeah. "And who wouldn't want to
see Taken?"
Right, yeah, exactly.
Just kidding.
It kind of has a plot, but
Taken
2 or Taken 3 don't really. He goes, "And who wouldn't want to see the further exploits of Andy and Red again?" And she goes, "Ka-ching." That's what she says. She wrote right here.
This woman is my hero.
Okay. She goes, "I believe I paid my dues writing since 1990. My portfolio contains screenplays, song lyrics, scripts for game shows. There's scripts for game shows? I guess like...
I'm using every ounce of me right now, the whole back.
Okay. Reality TV shows and more. I would love to send you both a hard copy of my feature length screenplay. What have you got to lose? A lot of time, maybe.
$1 million. I don't know. Poor investment.
Couple hours of like your time, free time, maybe.
Yeah,
or something like
your
that.
Life. I don't know.
He goes, you may contact me by email or phone. And then she gives her email and phone number.
Oh my God. I'm emailing her.
Okay. And she goes,
what?
She goes, and then she has my motto. She goes, the poorest of all men is not the man without a cent, but the man without a dream. And then she goes, waiting with eager anticipation, Kathy Gooden.
And Miss America is Kathy Gooden.
That would be so awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm so curious. Like, I read this. Like, I picked this newspaper yeah. out of having lunch with my family at the smokehouse.
I'm so glad you kept it. Oh, my God.
And so I came in. And I was reading it in the car, and I thought it was a goof. I thought this was a joke. I'm like, no way. And surely enough, like, I read it, and I'm like, no, this is, I think, for real. This is a legitimate Hollywood plea, I guess.
Yeah.
Or rather, right there. But my thing is, like, I mean, we've seen Shawshank Redemption, and people think it's, like, the perfect movie because it's, like, It explains the very beginning, mm-hmm. explains the very middle, and it explains the very end. And there is really no, I don't know what more exploits I could imagine that they would do, you know, like those two characters, I guess.
Here's the thing. Okay, so like, honestly, like,
lovers, but I don't know.
I think it's super kind of cool and weird and good for her that she's like, you know what? I'm going to write a letter in the hopes of actually getting a response. Like she's taking action to doing something. Mm-hmm. That's cool. What she doesn't understand. So my letter to Kathy Gooden. Okay.
You're going
to. Dear Kathy.
An open letter to Kathy Gooden. I, you know what? I wish I had some money to spend or just like anything. Like if I found money, I would be like, oh, I would like just put it. And it's like, I saw your letter.
I mean, honestly, like it's super cool. Like I said, like she's doing that. But here's the thing. Like, you know, you can plea and do all you want and beg for stuff in Hollywood. But like you have to work. Not just super hard, but for a long freaking time.
Yeah.
Like there are no overnight success stories, whether you're an actor or a writer or, you know, director, producer. And so can I see this really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cool that she like she's very clear about what she wants. And, you know, she wrote like the open letter and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, like even like me as an actor, like I've had an agent since I was 15, and I didn't book my first commercial until 3 years after I got my first agent.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was going out, being told no 1,000 times a day. You know, I wrote a script, and so I want to pitch it once it's, like, fully revised and stuff. And they always tell you, like...
Is it Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins in there?
Definitely not. But you know what? Just
you could
to
do an open letter,
if
maybe.
I could like actually get them in it, that would be cool. And I'd show Kathy and be like, if I can do it, you can do it too.
Right.
But, I mean, like, they even when you go to, like, pitch a script, like, in an actual pitching room with a company, you always have to bring 2, 3, 4 scripts with you because after the first one, all they're going to say is, what else do you have?
Right.
You know? So it's, like, it's cool that she, like, wants to do this and stuff, but you have to work so hard even to get in the room. Like, I didn't know agents when I was first looking for, like, an acting agent. Mm-hmm. I submitted, I like busted my ass and went to everyone's door and knocked on those doors and banged them down. I sent in clear plastic mailers, which my acting teacher told me you should not do, but my current agent actually signed me from that. And, you know, you have to hustle and work hard. And it's almost like, you know, God bless her. I just feel like she's a little naive with the entire industry.
Well, she lives like,
or she's dicking with us.
Well,
you know,
she like, is. That's a good troll thing.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. But she lives in Kansas, so it's like you're already in a tight spot in Kansas. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like,
well, and the thing is, my acting teacher Frank Garish, I study with him for it's called Frank's Acting Techniques, and he said, like, we meet with him. That's actually when I met my friend Lindsay.
Right.
Was we know him. And he said that the first thing that you do, that you have to do once you decide you want to be an actor or if you want to be a writer or producer, the first thing you have to do is move to Los Angeles.
Right.
That's it. That's you have to jump through 1,000 different circles, but that first circle is move to LA because right. that's where it happens. So, like, you know, Kansas, like, that's cool and stuff. You know, click your heels 3 times, but you got to come to LA. Yeah.
Someone said to my parents, and but they weren't here for acting. They just came, you know, from the country.
Yeah.
They were just like, what's going on? They're like, all right.
It's for anyone that's looking for opportunity. Exactly. You got to come to either U.S. or L.A. or California, you know, whatever.
Right. It's like if you want to do Broadway, you got to go to New York. You got to
exactly.
You know, if you want to be in the yeah, like, I mean, it's like, you know, all these have outlets, like Miami, mm-hmm. L.A.
Why Sundance is in Utah, I will never know. But
well, it's, oh, I guess that's what Robert Redford was hanging out with, I guess, or that time.
So random.
But, yeah, it's, I don't know. I just saw this thing and I was like, oh, I just want to get in contact with her or something. I almost want to do a double, you know, like a continuous or so. Cause like when
we should like reply to her.
Yeah. I was going to call her in the air, but I was like, ah, she's far away.
So I'm an admissions counselor for Mount St. Mary's right. for their master's film and television mm-hmm. program. So I get a lot of applicants and inquiries from like international students.
Right.
And one international student sent me, it wasn't an application. It was literally on computer paper. They wrote a screenplay starring Mariah Carey, Eminem, okay. Rihanna, and like Ariana Grande. And they wrote like Act 1, and they actually wrote out like Mariah Carey loves Nick Cannon, but it's not a romantic love, like this whole thing.
Oh my.
And at the very end, it's in blue pen. I saved it because it was so funny.
Oh.
She puts like curtain closes, like, and
wow,
I was like, it was like a 6-page thing that this person just wrote in pen,
right.
and it's terribly written. I think I don't, and it's like really broken English.
Right.
I don't remember what country it's from, but I kept it because I was like, this person had the balls to ask yeah. a university to produce something
right.
when they're not even in the program.
No.
You know, it's like, they're not even a student. Like they didn't know what we were. They thought we could just produce it.
Yeah.
But I kept it. I was like, that's kind of cool.
There is a thing. I think it's sad because sometimes like, you know, people say it's like, yeah, you're being naive and everything, but it is a true spirit. It's a lot of things. Like I had a guy on this show, and I've had him twice on the show, and he's a guy, he does impressions and he's a dramatic actor, but he hustled his ass off and he was mm-hmm. super talented, has, you know, has a very good look, and he finally, you know, got on a big TV show
mm-hmm.
and now everything is opening doors for him. I mean, but this guy, I mean, he did not turn down like film. He wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm above this or I'm
right,
above that.
Right.
To him, he just thought every type of thing was a good, you know, experience, and, you know,
absolutely any set, whether it's paid or free, you know,
yeah.
it's like people have to pay their dues to get there.
Yeah, we did a show, or he did like a movie where he had to go like near the Himalayas, and it wasn't mm-hmm. even like, I didn't even think, I mean, I don't even know what movie it was, to be quite honest with you, but I'm like, that's pretty commitment, because I would
yeah.
be like, I gotta go all the way
is
to
it safe, like, K2, yeah, yeah.
and I'm like, no, you know what, fuck that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's but, crazy.
You know, and I'm proud of a guy, you know, I sometimes, you know, I'm like, man, I should send him a note or something, you know, just get it there. But but you know, Kathy Gooden, I'm if I do meet Tim Robbins, I'm gonna hold this in my hand every day.
I will, like, we should like find a way. See, here's the thing. I would put this lady on Ellen DeGeneres because
right.
Ellen would make this happen.
Right.
You
I think
know?
I should. Yeah. I that's right.
Because this is like, it's sweet and it's like,
it's very sincere.
Yeah, it's very sincere.
Yeah.
Like, this woman genuinely believes this. And I'm like, you know what? Like, good for you.
Yeah. And my thing was like a sequel to Shawshank, you know, but you know what? I don't know. I remember somebody wrote a screenplay for Casablanca 2 where Rick and the French guy became lovers. But that was here
Ew.
And there. There,
hey.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So you never know. You never, they never,
it, do it how you do it.
A producer actually bought the thing and they were going to like try to make it, but it never came into fruition. So
how interesting.
But speaking of sequels, let's get down the pike.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Down the pike.
Oh boy, yeah. Have you seen Olympus Has Fallen, Mike?
No, I have not.
No, okay, all right.
Mike hasn't seen a lot of movies. Mike doesn't watch movies. He doesn't get out much.
Let's see. Is that what happens when you get married and have a kid and everything? Oh, boy.
Oh man. Goodness gracious.
I'm at a crossroads right now, and I'm like, I don't know, my life right now, and I'm not sure.
You guys act like you're old. Stop. Wait, okay.
You just said that you're freaking out that you're going to be 25, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, because I'm old. In female ears, it's like we're older, quicker. You know, we're like dogs. We age faster.
No. I was like, man, you're 25. I don't know. Another thing. I don't think you're older, but I'm like, I'm impressed because at 25, I'm kind of feel like I'm mature a little bit and kind of things like that. But I was goofball. Like even at age 15, if age 15 me would have met age 25 me, they would have had a lot in common still. You know
what
I mean?
That's so funny.
Yeah. But age 39 or age, which I'm going to be 39, I think I would have been like, oh God, I can't stand these guys. I'm out of here.
Ironically, you know? What keeps me wise is one of my bosses always said, like, always remember Mary-Kate. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're always learning. You don't know anything. You're an idiot. And I like in, you know, normal terms, that basically mean is like you're always a student of your job and of life, and you're in a constant state of learning. So don't ever tell yourself you know everything. Because he's like, you know nothing. Yeah. You don't know anything. I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't. And that's when I kind of grew up because I was like, I don't know everything. And when you accept it, you're an adult. I was like, wow.
Because at my job, sometimes we have like these new people and I feel like, I'm like, man, like I've been doing my job for a long time and I know every kind of thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, like you have not even begin to understand like what you're going to be doing or something like that. That's crazy. But that's what I mean. I wish I could go back. Like I honestly, like if I had a time machine and I could go back in high school for like 1 week, I would be the biggest asshole. Like I would be like, fuck, like this is stupid. You know what I mean? Like,
I think I would too.
even then I was still, I could say is, you know, you're young and everything. You feel like you know everything. But even now that I know everything kind of now, I would still be like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why are we learning this? Or like, why don't we just hang, like, what is this about? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Or I would definitely tell a lot of people, I would be like, I'm like, dude, come on, man. Just, you know, just relax. You know, I would have been like, for me, I was always angry. I don't know why I was angry when I was really
young. I can't picture you angry. You're such like a nice person.
I don't know. I could get angry, but I think I was back then. I was very bitter. Angry and bitter. Yeah. Like I was like, I don't know what it was, but looking back, I always feel like, oh man, people, no wonder people were afraid of me. Because I was like,
you probably had chronic angry face, you know?
Yeah, like it's like, you know, I don't think I was angry enough to like go crazy or what they back then called go postal, but I would definitely would have like, I think I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, I don't know. I was on a whole other planet back then.
When I went back to my high school reunion in November, it was like the most like revengeful satisfaction of not doing anything, but people being like, oh, Mary-Kate, it's so nice to see you. You're doing this and that. I'm like, you didn't talk to me at all in high school. Why should I even talk to you now? You know, can I take a picture with you? No. Yeah. Like, it was ridiculous.
I saw the 20th anniversary of my high school thing just recently. Mm-hmm. And
you have to go.
Oh, no, I didn't go. It came in. I couldn't do it anyway because I had something to do that night, actually. But I was like, oh, I was going to go to like hang out or something. But then I'm like, I don't even think I even said a word to that person ever in my school. So that's going to be really awkward. Like, what am I going to even talk to him now?
Well, that's why God invented alcohol and people drink and you figure it out.
Well, that's true.
See, I'm a genius. I'm wise. I'm an old soul.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm going to say about you.
Yes.
Well, speaking of old souls. I like that segue. let's get into the first movie here. The sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. Yes, again, Gerard Butler is protecting the president once more. Okay.
Wait, that's Gerard Butler?
That's Gerard Butler.
What?
I think the guy who played Two-Face in the Dark Knight. What was the guy's name? Was it Aaron? What was this guy? Whatever. He's playing the president in this movie is like the young, like in the whole series, I guess, is like the youngest, most fit, like handsome president. Like,
like his secret's like drinking or something.
Yeah. And it's like Reagan was 68 when he got into the office, you know? So he was already a guy that's already there. I'm assuming they should have put like the oldest guy. I'm trying to think of an old guy. Like, yeah, they should have, like, Christopher Walken, maybe.
Because there's an age limit, right, on presidents? Don't you have to be at least 40?
No, I don't know. When he got in, he was the oldest president. He got in. He got out when he was like 80 something years old, or 80 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but he did have like some issues coming out. Like, really? Yeah. Like he was already, like, his memory was already off and, wow, and things like that.
That's sad.
Yeah. So he was older than most, but you know, he definitely liked his job. Mm-hmm. He definitely liked it right there. But, let's play the little trailer here. It's Gerard Butler and Morgan Freeman. Kathy Gooden, if you're listening to this.
It's a guy.
Just saying. You may want to do a script for maybe Berlin or Paris has fallen or something.
Shout out to Kathy Gooden.
We'll see. All right, here we go. Okay.
What the hell did they make you out of?
Bourbon and poor choices.
Yeah.
See, they're running together. So it's like the head of the Secret Service and the president are like good friends. Levels.
This isn't just a gathering of the world's most powerful leaders.
It is the most quite a limo that guy had.
On Earth.
Welcome to London, Mr. President.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Uh-oh.
Bugs the hell out of me.
Oh, it's attack.
Damn.
An attack.
Oh, God.
Has decimated the British capital.
Wow, the bridge is destroyed. The London Bridge. I don't know.
Stay with me. We'll get you out of here.
The American president.
Oh, my God.
Is unaccounted for.
To our friends in the West.
Bakawe.
Number 6 on the 10 list.
What do you want?
Your president.
That's not going to happen.
I love the way he talks.
Morgan Freeman, I would think he would be the more the president. Right?
I thought about that earlier. Head.
So I don't
we
know,
have
is
to
this.
Fire Bakawe before he fires the president.
Yeah. Is this a.
We're going to kill him.
I guess it's a terrorist organization.
Line.
Yeah. They're pretty good. This terrorist organization to get the president to say that much.
I will not be executed as propaganda.
9/11 did it. Yeah. They try to do that, but they can't.
You don't let them take me. If it comes to it, I want you to kill me.
Oh.
That's an order.
Oh, wow. London, the president said, like, you gotta kill me.
Yeah.
Just imagine every major city.
They make that country, though, like the terrorist country, chaos. It's like ambiguous. Like, you can't really tell.
Right.
The president dies tonight.
Oof. So, this head of the Secret Service guy was a very young guy.
America will rise up.
All right, here we go.
And make no mistake, we will find you. And we will destroy you.
So realistically,
Mark, we're getting you
they
out.
Would have go, found go. Him, and it would have been, but it would have been probably taken like 7-10 years, right?
You think?
Right, I mean, it took a while to get Osama, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like the president, though, it's almost like, not priority, but like the intensity of like the search. I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, because I know for like, yeah, because I remember like when 9/11 happened, everyone was like, we got to get in. We got to get these guys or whatever it was. Like,
I was 10. I don't remember anything.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I was an infant.
Yeah.
I was conceived. That's all I know.
Oh, boy. But yeah, like I remember being, like angry and being like, And then like, when they announced when Osama bin Laden, it was like, it's like way over 10 years ago. And it was just like, it's almost like we got other people that were pretty much the main involvement, but it was like, he was like the last of the last.
And they
you
found
know?
Him in a hole, right?
He was in Pakistan in some compound. They found him.
Then who was in the hole? Saddam?
Saddam. Yeah. Saddam was in the hole.
Remember someone in a hole.
Yeah. They found him. And then, but then they executed him, which they were like pissed off about, you know,
and buried him in the
hole. And then Gaddafi, who was like the big time guy, you know, Mr. Dictator over there in the Middle East, like even during the Reagan years and all that stuff like that. Then he got kicked out. He got announced and like he got the worst of it, I think, because there's a video. They showed a video of him like he got beaten up, and they were shoving. Somebody was shoving a stick up his ass.
There's video of it.
Yeah, not like you could see his butt, but you could definitely tell that they were aiming in that direction.
Oh God, that's horrible.
I'm like, wow, has the mighty have fallen there?
That makes me upset. Mike upset.
Oh boy, Mike, come down.
He's upset. God,
you know, Gaddafi wasn't that great of a, and that's the thing. I can never tell how you even spell his name because it was always with a Q or
it's
K.
Usually like a Q U A D H A F I or something.
And you're like, get it, come on, you get it right. You know, get you decide on the how you spell.
Pick your vowels and stick with it. Commit.
Right. It's like it's a Qatar or Qatar. You know, it's like just pick one. Yeah. Just pick over, you know, there.
I agree.
But I don't know, this movie, it's all about, you know, I think he's gonna shoot. That would be a great movie
if Morgan Freeman killed the guy.
Well, if Morgan Freeman pulled out a mask and he was actually a terrorist. No, but I think it would be interesting more so in any action movie where the guy, if he actually had to kill the president, the Secret Service guy,
yeah,
and said like, I got to do it, I got to kill you, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it'd be,
you're my drinking buddy, and even though you're the president, you know, but I...
It'd be cool if, like, the president saves everyone else. In reality, like, the president blows everyone's head off. Like,
right.
You
know, that's...
like, plot twist, you know? President's like, actually a super badass.
Yeah,
like,
and it's like, whoa. And that's so funny, because, like, I never think of any president that would be a badass. Maybe JFK would probably be a...
Yeah.
He was younger. He was, like, the youngest, right?
And Obama's, like, too kind-looking. Like, he's really sweet in the face. And so I feel like he doesn't really pose as a threat to society.
Yeah, Bush would have probably...
I think Bush would know how to use a gun. Yeah. Him and his dad would do it together, you know?
I think he would have probably been there. Yeah. Nixon probably wouldn't have done it. Nixon would have been in a hole somewhere.
He's like, why in a hole?
Yeah, that's Nixon. Come on. You know what I mean? But as we're, you know, when we're talking about like the Osama and Saddam and Gaddafi, I'm like, oh, and it's funny, they all fell like under Obama's, you know, presidency. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, man, I wouldn't kill them or wouldn't do it. I would grab them. Make a zoo out of them. You know what I mean? Like, let's say, like...
It, like, to torture... I can't believe we're having this conversation. Right. But to, like... I mean, my God. Like, I didn't expect this to happen. But, like, right. To let them suffer a little, you know?
Well, just to... I don't know. For me, it would have been, like, interesting if they would have said, like, okay, this is where Saddam lives here. Like, he's not even... he's living in this cell, but it's open to the public or something.
You know
what I mean?
Or to, like, educate them and, like, teach them our ways and stuff. That'd be miserable for them, you know? Something. To, like, have to listen and abide by, like, our policies and all this stuff.
I guess, because even in, like, the Nazis, everyone, like Hitler committed suicide. Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that article about how he may have had one ball and a very small wiener?
Oh, I could see it. Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Hitler?
And so people...
You sure about that?
I swear to God. And people were like, that's why he was bitter. I'm like, well, if that caused him to do what he did, I mean,
you never know. It could happen, you know? He was probably a young kid. He probably got laughed at by a lot of women or guy, whatever it was. And he's probably like, you know what? One of these days, if I ever get in power...
You're going to regret this. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Be nice to people, guys. Please, for God's sake.
That would be funny if he did say it in a speech. So he's like, everybody laughed at my penis. And they're like, wait. And he's like, wait. And he goes, and he's like, what'd you say? He's like, nothing. Yeah. Didn't say anything.
No, but that was just an article I saw on Facebook, you know, as Facebook. So I was like,
the Facebook Times.
Yeah, the Facebook Times, you know, not the Toluca whatever.
Not the Toluca Times. No, they just didn't have open letters in there. But
Facebook has way more than open letters.
Right.
Oh, God.
But there was also a story where there's a guy who actually saved Hitler from being mobbed. Like he was going to be beaten up by a mob and basically killed by some mob because he was, you know, the head of his own party and everything. Yeah. And this guy convinced the crowd not to do it. And they all turned away and everything. And then, like, I could imagine, like, after the war, the guy's like...
They had one job. They could have done it, you know? He's like, one job.
I bet you one of those guys, like, one of the people in the town must have been like, see, man, look what we could have did. Oh, you son of a bitch. You could have had him. And he's like, I'm sorry. I didn't know what he would be up to.
Yeah.
I don't know the future, okay?
God, not to be a Debbie Downer, but how could someone... do something like that. Like, they that's just, crazy.
So that's the thing. You don't know what people are capable of. Sometimes you think, like, you try to be the better person, you know, like, they're a real dick and they're an asshole, but, you know, they're still a human being. And it's like, you know what? You shouldn't have made that speech that day. One time, that shouldn't have been done. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
So what's this one?
Well, speaking of hole, being in a hole, this one's called the 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is basically the sequel to Cloverfield. Cloverfield was one of those movies where it was like a point of view movie where the camera was basically the guy almost like filming like in his own camcorder, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's what you got. And it was a big monster that invaded a city. But what I didn't understand about Cloverfield was that the monster was impenetrable. They shot him with so many missiles and guns.
So it's a monster.
Right. But see, that's the thing. The first one, it was a monster. And it was like this indestructible monster where like nothing would make it bleed. And the thing is, he would some other monsters or other creatures would come out of it or something like that and start attacking people like individually, like something, you know what I mean? And they'd go into sewers. It was a trippy movie, but
yeah, because in the trailer for this one, you don't see any creatures. No.
We don't know what it is. I don't know. It could be a big robot for all I know. And John Goodman, who's a great, phenomenal actor,
was the name I couldn't remember. Yeah. God, that's embarrassing. I should know that name.
But I think he makes the movie. So let's see here. This is J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. I was thrown off by the music of the trailer.
Yeah. So they're like hanging out at his... Like he has like a safe or something. It's like weird.
Looks like a basement, like a safe place.
Yeah.
Because clearly this has happened before where they've been attacked by monsters.
Right. I think he's like the dad and that's like the kids maybe, I guess. I'm
not sure. Or he's like the really creepy uncle.
Right.
Because she like hits him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're both getting creeped out. Yeah, see, he's a little. All right. Becky, you know what? Play the other trailer too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a basement. They're trying to save. And now she wants to escape, basically.
Yeah, and he's basically probably trying to save her. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
No! Uh-oh. Don't open that door! You're going to get all of us killed!
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Something's coming.
See, that's the thing. I don't know. She...
I think they should have shown some sort of creature or whatever that evil thing was so that we could get an idea because it makes me think like it could be just like an earthquake, you know, like,
yeah, that would be funny. That would be awesome if it was an earthquake. Like,
I would walk out of the movie theater.
Really?
I would. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. Because
a monster is kind of ridiculous, too. But I mean, it's a movie
right here. So. Let's play the other. What was the other one I saw, too? This one's a little bit, brother. Here. No, just play that one.
Del estudio que te trajo.
Okay. No, forget it.
Bienvenidos.
Spanish. That'd be awesome. They should do the trailers in Spanish because then you would be like, "What the fuck? What's going on here, man? Yeah. What's going on?"
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, I guess, I don't know, John Goodman, it's a lot different from the original because like I said, in the first movie, it was like this handheld, it was like very like Paranormal Activity kind of situation, you know, where like you have a camera, the guy's holding a camera.
What's that other movie too that came out like when I was real young, in the woods, these kids?
Oh, Blair Witch
Project. That's kind of the style I'm thinking of.
Right. But in this one, they actually, I guess they just said, you know what, let's not do that. Let's actually make a legitimate like type of movie. And then, but they're going to be like in this safe house, mm-hmm. you know, and John Goodman, who seems crazy. I think the point is, I think John Goodman seems crazy, but I think he's like, no, I'm just warning you what's going to happen outside, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. When I saw whatever was coming out, I don't know if it's a monster. I don't know. I'm going to say it's just like something basic. Like
I'm wondering if it could be like political or something, and they're trying to like say it's this new thing and like where to us we think it's not like not stupid but it's not real, but then in their world it could be some political thing, you know, that's coming to get them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just kind of where my brain's going.
My brain was going if it was like it's like a
like flubber.
Yeah.
Are you serious? No, I was kidding. Mike's losing it, guys.
Flubber, is that that green thing? Yeah. that it was in that movie.
I don't know the sounds it makes, but it's like
blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, it was like you could, like, if you had it in your shoes, like you could jump real high on it or something. Or,
I need to watch that. That was a cool movie.
That was a remake too. That was like,
oh, it was?
Yeah, it was a remake from an old, what was the movie was called Flubber, the remake of the but the original movie was like some stupid title of it or something. Like, it was like The Incredible.
How much like stupider can a word named Flubber get?
No,
like,
no, I think if you saw Flubber, I think Flubber is actually a better, because you kind of go like, what the fuck is Flubber? Yeah, you kind of go like, what's that? But this one was like, who don't want to see that? But I don't know. Like, the Cloverfield thing is, it's got to be aliens or some whatever it is. Yeah. But to me,
it could be aliens, and that's where the political thing comes in.
Right. But I do like that friction where because that's the thing. If you're in like this place, if something is going on in the world and mm-hmm. you're in like this safe haven, like this underground thing, mm-hmm. it is a thing where you kind of go like, I'm curious to what's going on outside. Some people would be like, I'm curious to see what's going on outside. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, I don't want to know shit of what's going on outside. It's right. It's like hell on earth. So it's like, I'm just staying in here.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
here. And some people are like, no, I gotta know. And it's like, that's yeah. what it is. And I think I understand both point of views, but I think if I saw or like, yeah, like I don't know how people did it or how do it. Like, if anybody who's ever involved, like in wartime mm-hmm. and they get bombed, I would be like, I wouldn't want to leave the house ever again.
No.
You know? I would be like, you know, because anything to me would just imagine that would be crazy, you know, fucked up. You know, like 9/11, I'm pretty sure when all this stuff happened.
My mom kept us home from school that day.
Yeah, it's creepy. And I think people who were probably there and heard all that stuff and everything, to them, it kind of gives chills probably to this day. And you're like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't even want to even go to like a big high rise buildings or something, because they're just like, no, you know what?
Well, tell me if this correlates. So my boyfriend, Nick, he works for NASA at JPL mm-hmm. in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that now, you know, they're discovering like that there might possibly be some planets or one planet, like in addition to Pluto or near Pluto or something like that. Uh-huh. And so a lot of people want to believe, yeah, you know, there's some external life forces, you know, there's life outside of Earth and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then some people are like, no, there's nothing there. They're in hardcore denial. So I'm wondering, like, are they in denial because they're afraid, or, you know, like, you know, it's just, it's so interesting how that kind of correlates to the movie. It's like this whole outside world that we don't really know in the movie. They don't really know what's the attacking them. Or maybe they do know in the movie, you know, but.
Because a lot of Nashville
aliens.
Nashville.
Yeah.
They're from Nashville.
We're tired. No.
But a lot of I know ex NASA officials and our current one from what my friend told me, and then from what I've seen online, is that they said that if there's ever alien coming or whatever it is or something that would come into it, it would be similar to what, you know, back then when people would like the British Empire would go to, where it's like it would be not on friendly terms. It would be like, we're curious and we want to know what's valuable in this playing so we could take it and see if we could use it.
Yeah.
And that's basically the thing. It's not like, because I don't know, I think like, unless you need to travel somewhere and be like, it's unless they go to vacation and their vacation is like going to other planets, you know? But to them, it's like, there's a movie called The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. And it was really, it's a really good movie. It's one of those movies where you're like, I never saw this. I never heard of it, but it was really cool because it's basically aliens kind of taking over secretly, and they basically want to take over the Earth.
Yeah.
Due to the fact because if you've seen it or not seen it, but they basically want to take over the Earth because their planet where they were coming from is disintegrating and they want to take over. You know?
Well, think about, you know, like if Earth ever becomes so polluted or just, you know, everything that our resources completely dissipate and, you know, we need to go to another planet.
Right.
Imagine if there are life forms on that planet and they're feeling overwhelmed because there are people going over.
Right.
You know,
and that's the thing. And that's why
it's an invasion.
And that's to them, they would say, oh, we're an invasion, but they don't know what this is. And that's the thing with us. It's like, I think if aliens come and visit us, it's not going to be like on like this thing where it's like, hey,
what's up? One of those Starbucks or coffee bean.
Like, I don't know. We just learned your language a little bit recently, but you seem like cool people.
Yeah.
you have sports, and you have a magazine that used to shoot nude people, and now it doesn't nude. I don't understand. So yeah, you know, I don't know. We're just thinking like, hey, what, you know, we could hang out, you know.
Saw you
like
on that. Tinder. Yeah, right.
We're checking you guys out.
Location,
you know?
A billion miles away.
Yeah, we like what's going on over there. It took you guys a long time to kind of get where you are, but you got there. You know, we saw everything. So
fortunately, we have like, you know, all those like incredible satellites in space. Like those satellites, like if you were to have like, let's say, Kathy Gooden's article right here on this table, the satellite from space can take a picture and you could actually see this piece of paper from that satellite in space.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick works on like the cameras and stuff
He probably checks out a lot of,
naked
women, like, and someone like, it's probably like in a, like, oh, he's like, hey man,
I'll cook his ass if he does.
Is there that girl that's in the poolside nude? Let's check her out, man. See if you print that photo.
I bet that's like how Google Earth is made, you know, like,
yeah, it's one of those things, but yeah.
But so I think we might see a life form or an alien or a UFO coming in
right
in time, you know.
I would love it, but I would be scared too. But yeah. I would kind of be like, "Wow, this is amazing! This is great," you know.
Yeah.
But then I would be like, "I need to buy a gun."
I'd be like, "Bathleash, like, yeah. I own a gun, so I'm solid." But like, I would like build something underground and just stay there.
Can you take a photo of you holding your gun and on your car, like?
Oh my god! Yes, it's a 45 caliber. No, I'll totally do it. That's so funny.
Like, I think a young Ted Nugent would freak out if he saw you, wouldn't he? Right there, he would be like, "Holy smokes!"
I should actually put that on my acting portfolio, like in my pictures, because I also do Krav Maga. So I do that. I own a gun. I go to the gun range. So I book like military roles and stuff. And so I want to do more fighting roles, like my Krav Maga.
I could totally
and stuff.
See you in action. Yeah,
yeah. I can actually hurt someone like with my martial arts training. Like I could make you really sad. I'm dangerous.
Oh, sad. You would make me sad.
Yeah.
You would not only hurt me, but you'd also make me. You would.
I mean, I could potentially kill you, but that's not the point of Krav Maga. It's to hurt you so that I can get away. You know.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna kick you until you die.
Right.
So.
But it'd just be funny if like you actually could do all that, and then you could also say, and then hurt my feelings at the same time too.
I could.
It's
I'll
like
say something really degrading.
She didn't have to say that. I mean, I understand. Punching me in the
kick
face.
Kick you and be like, stop being so sensitive.
But calling me...
Shut your mouth.
Calling me four eyes is a little bit weird. I know it's four eyes, but still, that's kind of hurts sometimes. I mean, that's weird.
Stop crying, you little bitch.
Yeah, I know. Like, well, how dare you? But let's play the final one. We're actually just played it because
I talk way too much.
No, you know what? Because you deserve this because, you know, it's an action movie. You're not into action, right? I mean, even though you talked about it.
Well, what kind of action are we talking about?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And then sci-fi, are you into sci-fi, John?
Yeah,
a bit? Okay. All right. But this one is it a romantic comedy, rom-com?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say maybe this is the Love Actually of our time.
Okay.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
I think so. I mean, is it Perfect Match?
Yeah, the Perfect Match.
Yeah.
Okay. With Donald Faison?
I have no idea.
Paula Patton was married to Robin Thicke, right?
How do you know all this?
Yeah.
You're like an encyclopedia of information.
Yeah, but then he, I think, cheated on her maybe or something.
Wagging the finger.
And she's hot. Yeah, she's hot.
People are dumb.
I'm like, what's the matter with you, Mr. Thicke?
That's right. You tell him, Mr. Thicke.
Put your hands together. Gotta get it. Gotta get it. Gotta get it.
Why do you bring these little dinky girls around?
You guys know how I am with women. As soon as I have sex with them, it's like all of my interests magically disappear.
Really? Is that new? Doesn't it get old?
Nope. It stays right around 20.
Wow.
I'm a photographer. I definitely don't do that with my clients.
Yeah, frozen because of your emotional immaturity.
Not that shallow.
Watch out, said move.
I'm an agent. I get a piece of all the action.
My advisor says that I can't engage in any negative facial expressions. So Karen does that for me now.
Don't think you understand that. Is that
Brandy?
Brandy?
Yeah. Brandy?
Yeah. I was going to say Moesha.
Yeah, Moesha. Oh, same thing.
Because it's my time. You ain't got
gotta worry about nothing.
There you go.
Look, yeah. You've been dreaming about being with Ginger since we were kids.
You are not bringing one of these little floozies to my wedding.
You've been dreaming about having little Rickies running around.
She's not pregnant yet.
It's those Brazilian.
I love her. She's from Orange.
Have you seen the population in Brazil?
And I've been dreaming about making money, driving a fast car, and hooking up with models.
Why are we friends with him?
Because he's the best hoe we ever met in our life.
Take us on a bet. From New Girl?
You date a woman till Vic's wedding and see if you get attached.
Him.
So you've never been in a long-term relationship?
No.
You?
I've never been in a short relationship. I want to try something new.
The sex is amazing. She's cool. You remember how you felt at the end of the notebook?
Dude, I really
like that every man. Come on, guys.
That chick, she's got you good.
This girl is amazing. When she walks in the room, it's special.
You have the capacity to love. And that is a beautiful thing.
Possibly, yeah.
Strings, that's what we said. Men can bounce around from woman to woman, but if I do it, I'm a bad person. That's not fair.
That is
the first time I actually allow myself to feel something. There's nothing more important in life than going after what you love.
You're not going to be able to fit into your dress. All calories count.
Oh, wow. Robin Givens. Oh, no.
If anyone ever said that to me and took away my adult beverage, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so interesting.
What was that statement? What was the statement that you're...
So the that lead, the female lead, she's sitting in the chair and she's basically saying, like, they got together on the premise of she wants no strings attached, which he's usually great about, right? And so now he's starting to like her. But she wants to try the whole no strings attached thing. Right. So women are constantly like degraded and talked about in a condescending way for dating around. But guys can do whatever they want and it's totally fine.
It's a double standard. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so like I'm a part of this like LA secret group for girls. And
secret group?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, on Facebook. And so we all talk about like things like this. This is like a common subject and we just think it's like ridiculous. But, you know, the only way to really change the mindset is to stop talking about, you know, that in like a negative way. It's like if we just make it more of the norm. I'm not saying go around and, you know, be slutty. I'm just saying like it's okay to date around and it's not okay for someone to call you a slut for doing that.
Right.
It's never okay to call someone that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're acting like a trashy little girl, you know, that's their own thing. And I don't know what their problem is. But like I just me personally, like I respect my own morals and my own values. And, you know, I've dated a lot of guys and like, you know, not like in that way, but like. When I go out with a lot of guys and people talk, you know, especially like if it was a guy of, you know, high profile, this and that, it was like constantly like, oh, you know, she's this and this, she sleeps around and blah, blah, blah. When, you know, I wasn't doing any of those things.
Right.
And so I just don't think it's right. Like women should be okay to go and date around. They should honestly like be okay to sleep with whoever they want and not be called a slut for it.
Right.
So,
but well, it's, it's always a double standard. It's the same, you know, yeah, it's always been the case. It's always like when you're in the family, if you get raised, like if you're raising a boy and a girl, you know, together, sometimes you're going to be more strict on the girl than you are with the boy.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? So
absolutely, that's how it was in my family.
Right. So it wasn't my family, but it was very like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but it was odd because my sister who's older was always in long relationships and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was like no relationships or something. Like, it was like the opposite. It was like one extreme to the other extreme in a way. Not something like that. So, so I think it was like, for me, I think I saw her thing and, or like, you know, how she would react and how she would go there. And it was like this roller coaster. And for me, I was like, oh my God, that seems such a
nightmare. You don't want anything to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that seems crazy. Like, I don't get it. Like, it just seems way complicated than it really should be and all this stuff, you know?
Have you ever read the book, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell?
I've heard of it,
but
I never
read
No.
So it's this guy who goes out on all these like sexual escapades and he wrote books about them and he's like horribly degrading to women, right? Mm-hmm. So I was never horribly degrading to men, but like he talks about like all the dates he went on, all the girls he went on. So I was like the Tucker Max in my like vicinity, like after I broke up. So I was actually, Nick and I were together in high school from, you know, 15 years old until 19. And then we broke up for several years, went our own ways, did our own thing. We had some growing up to do. Mm-hmm. And so in that time period, I became the Tucker Max. I was like, I'm going to experience the world. I'm going to, you know, date different guys, go out, blah, blah, blah. And I used to think of myself as being bad by seeing so many guys, but like, I don't need to report to someone. If I go on a date with this guy, if I have lunch with this guy, I don't he doesn't need to know that I'm going to dinner with this guy.
Right.
Like, that all is dependent on what you talk about with each person, you know? Right. So I wanted to be free, no strings. I didn't want boyfriends, nothing. I wanted to go out and have fun and have a good time. But then at my high school reunion, I saw Nick again. Oh. And then that was, you know, the end of that. I was like, I still freaking love you. And, but so I had the experience of, you know, being called those nasty things and, you know, obviously it wasn't true, but people, and it's by guys, you know, not by girls.
Right.
'Cause girls just want to be left alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's the thing. I mean, I've done my thing where I've thought of, I mean, I'm going to say it called anybody a slut or anything, but I definitely had that thing where, yeah, I remember, like, if I was a girl that I liked or something, and if I saw, you know, if I asked her out or something, you know, but then later on saw her with somebody else sometimes, that would be a little bit like, wait, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Because that's the thing. It's like my goal is a lot different than what her goal is. And I think sometimes there's always like this thing where it's like, it's like, wait a minute, are we not on the same page?
Right.
And it's like, because the thing is, if you don't communicate,
you have to communicate.
It's it becomes like this clusterfuck of this whole thing. So it's, and that's the thing. I think it's like, you know, if some people are fortunate to be with somebody that they, they're with, it's great, you know, but
they have to be on the same page.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it's got to be consistent all the time. And it's like, that's why I'm like, you know, when someone's like together for like 50 years or whatever, I'm just like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's crazy. Like, my parents are going to be together for 48 years, you know?
Wow.
And I mean, they've had their times or whatever, but it's crazy to be with somebody that long.
Yeah. My parents are still together. My brother was born in 74. So I think they got married in 73 or 72.
Oh, wow.
I think it's probably 72. So how many years is that?
That was 42 years ago or 45.
Okay,
or 43.
So, I mean, I'm 24. I have a 42-year-old brother, but it's just like, you know, it's amazing to see them together, you know, because you don't see people together anymore, you know?
No, it's a different, I think a lot of people, I think it's sometimes with marriage and relationship, I think a lot of people jump in. Like, The Bachelor is like the perfect thing where it's like these women are looking for love on TV and you're actually looking for it, which is scary. It's like if I went to like granted, it's like if you went to some reality show or something, I mean, it's just for the experience, but at the end all, you're not, you may want to win. Like, if you want a Survivor, you might want the competition and win all the money, but that's kind of more reasonable than going out and saying like, okay, this guy who I don't know, who I'm just going to meet for the very first time. And that's going to be, and it's like, and they go and it just becomes like this whole emotional ride. And it's like, and I'm like, to begin with, that's a really crazy concept. That's already such a, like, your goal is so like you're literally like saying like, hey, I'm afraid of heights, but now I'm going to go to NASA and fly one of those rockets. Like, it's like, no, calm down.
Yeah.
You know?
There's this really cool concept that they're doing. It's like a contest for people who want to get married. And it's a company that will pay for your wedding. I think it's up to like $25,000 or $10,000, something like that. Wow. But what you have to do is you sign a contract that says you will stay married to them. And if you divorce and you breach the contract, you will end up paying them back plus interest over the amount of years that you were married.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I feel like that almost happened back in the old, like, Middle Ages or something.
Well, it's like, I think like a dowry. They're trying to, like, prevent, like, the divorce rate and help people, you know, get married and stuff like that. And I guess they're trying to, like, salvage the sanctity of marriage. But it's just like,
it's,
I think, like, it's a cool concept, and everyone says, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry this guy and we'll be together forever. But they might not be, you know? Right. And so when you're bound like that, but who knows? Maybe it'll teach people how to find a way to, you know, reach a solution rather than just divorce.
But, yeah. But sometimes people just change, you know? Sometimes you might meet somebody, but sometimes you're in a relationship, and sometimes you sometimes grow apart without really realizing you grew apart.
Because you're still growing up. I think people should be in relationships and get married when they've kind of, like, grown up to a point. Like, your prefrontal cortex is fully developed when you're 25.
Right.
Why I know that? No clue.
So
that's the decision-making part of your brain.
Right.
And so that's usually a good time, you know, when people can realistically settle down and things are okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know what? Damn.
But that still seems freaking young, you know, and I'm not even 25 yet. So the decision-making part of my brain still needs some polishing.
Yeah, yeah. We got to talk. After the show, we got to talk, girlfriend.
Damn it.
Damn. Oh, my goodness. Wow. We went through a lot. And Kathy Gooden.
I know. Shout out to Kathy Gooden.
Yeah, good for you.
Good for you, Kathy.
Open letter to Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins. Hopefully this Shawshank 2 will get made one day. You know, or at least hopefully she'll make a play. I will want to see a play in Canada somewhere. If they
yeah.
That right there.
I think we got to pitch this to Ellen and make it happen.
Right,
or at least for Kathy to meet him. Yeah, you know, yeah. That'd be cool. God bless you, Kathy Gooden.
Yeah, because I don't know. I'm pretty sure those two guys would be like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, if I were, you know, at their fame caliber and someone wrote a letter like that, I'd be like, that's actually really nice. It's like, just very forward.
Like, all right, we can do a little half an hour, you know, thing right there. We can see it tried out.
Yeah.
Right, why not? You know, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I'm pretty sure someone said that too, like when they did Godfather 3, and Al Pacino was like, Godfather 3? Really?
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, how much are you going to pay me? Oh, well, all right. Okay. We'll do it. No worries.
For the right price.
For the right price. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in, man. It's like, really? All right. Well, again, Mary Kate Fitzpatrick, thank you again for doing it. This is the episode of The Return of Mary Kate Fitzpatrick.
The Return of the One Jedi.
The One Jedi again.
Just one.
And where can we find you? You're all over the place, right?
Yeah. So my website is MaryKateFitzpatrick.com. You can see the tab for my acting landing page and for my photography page.
Right.
Instagram is The Real MK Fitz, because beyond all popular belief, there are fake ones.
Yeah. I think you told about that last time. There was somebody who was using your image, right?
Yes. And he was a man. It was weird. And my Twitter is also The Real MK Fitz. And you can find me on Facebook at Mary Kate Fitzpatrick.
And I actually think
I like long walks on the beach, boring romance novels.
Oh, right. I was going to do the fake Mary Fitzpatrick and be like, that's me too. Yeah. It's like, all right. Well, and Mike, thanks again for filling in right there.
Thanks,
and, Mike. And everybody, please come to your senses. And Kathy Gooden, we're gonna help you
God
out.
Bless
we're gonna
you, say Kathy, right. You're such a nice lady.
Yeah, I know. All right, everybody, you have a good one. Okay, bye.
Receive this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.